Good morning, everyone.
I'm Stuart Mizell, the pastor here, and it's good to see all of you here in person, both longtime members and guests, visitors. Thank you for joining us online if you're watching us on our YouTube channel. We are continuing in our series on praying, and again, I want to emphasize that the desire here is not just to talk about prayer in some theological way, but to really encourage us to pray and to pray specifically about the things that God wants us to pray about. So I'm hoping that these sermons are an encouragement to you to do just that. If you wouldn't mind turning in your own Bibles, or if you would like to look at the screen, you can go to Luke 22. That's where we're going to be camping out today. So let me just say where we've been before we read from Luke chapter 22. We've seen that God calls us to pray about any situation we face, especially those that cause us anxiety and stress. We've also seen that God calls us to pray in the name of Jesus. And that doesn't just mean saying in Jesus' name at the end of the sermon. It's aligning ourselves with who Jesus is and what Jesus wants. And we've also talked about how we need to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, because God has given us resurrection power in the Spirit residing in Christians, in believers. And because we have the power of the Spirit in us, we, as Sean prayed about, we rely on the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit even as we pray. We're also to go to the Scriptures and pray according to what the Scriptures say and not just whatever we want, although God does call us to pray about whatever is concerning us. But again, to align ourselves with who Jesus is, we look to His Scriptures and see that we can find truth there. And then last week, we talked about a specific prayer that Jesus tells us to pray about. That is to pray earnestly for gospel laborers to be raised up. And if Jesus, our King and Savior, says, pray about this, it's an important prayer, and so we should do that. Today we're going to look at another way that Jesus encourages us to pray, and this is from Luke 22, verses 39 and following. This is the Word of God. And He, that's Jesus, came out and went, as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him. And when He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And He withdrew from them a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose from prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And He said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for Your Word. Holy Spirit, empower us and give us what we need to be able to hear and respond well to what our King tells us in this passage. And Jesus, we pray this in Your name and for Your glory, along with You, Father, and You, Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. You know, 10 years ago, there was a study that was conducted here in America on tracking the temptations that Americans face. And what temptations were on the list? Well, there were many, but here are the top five. Number one, 60% of the people who were tracked said their biggest temptation was worrying and being anxious about what's coming. What's going to happen? Another 60% of the people also said that procrastination and putting things off was something that they were tempted with often. And then there's the other one that you probably already guessed, eating too much. Because we're Americans and we like to supersize pretty much everything. So 55% said eating too much was a huge temptation for them. And then, and this was 10 years ago, I can't imagine what it would be like today. 44% said spending too much time on media. Can you imagine what that would look like today if we did the same survey? And then I got a kick out of this one because it's somewhat funny, but also not funny in another way. 41% said they were tempted to be lazy. Be lazy. Just, you know, sit around on the couch and do nothing, I guess, all day. And the interesting thing about that survey, though, was they not only asked, what are you tempted by, but they also said, when you are tempted, what do you do anything about it? When you are faced with a temptation, do you do anything? 59% said no. Facing a temptation, I don't do anything. I don't do anything to try to avoid it. I don't try to do anything to fight it. I just give in. 59%. Now, let me ask you, maybe those things on that list don't really connect with you. What are the temptations that you face? Just this past week, what are the things that you were tempted by? And then the further question, did you do anything to try to avoid those temptations? Those are two important questions. What are the things that tempt me personally? That may be a little different than what tempts you. And am I doing anything about trying to resist those temptations? There are all kinds of things we can talk about in resisting temptation, but here Jesus gives us a very specific and very easy thing to do in terms of resisting temptation. And that is that God calls us to pray about temptation. God calls us to pray about temptation. Now, one of my staff members asked me if praying about temptation means we want to pray that more temptation comes our way. And I said, you will find out in the sermon. And the answer is no, okay? You don't want to pray for more temptation. You don't want to do that. No, you pray about temptation in terms of what Jesus says in this passage. Now think about this. This is before Jesus is going to be crucified. It is the night when he is betrayed by Judas. The night when the soldiers come and gather him up and then take him away to a fake trial. And he goes out to the Mount of Olives to pray. His disciples go with him. He looks at his disciples and he says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then he goes off and he prays. And then he comes back. And when he rose from prayer, verse 45, when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? And now, it was daylight saving time back then, and that's why they were tired. But no, really, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So twice Jesus emphasizes this is an important thing. Pray that you will not enter into temptations. Pray about your temptations, that you would not even enter into them. And you know, this isn't a one-shot deal that Jesus is talking to his disciples. Then, if you remember from the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and he gives them what we often call the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer, you know that part of that prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the same thing, praying that God would not lead us into temptation, that we would not enter into temptation, that we would have a way of avoiding temptation altogether. Now, the fact that God calls us to pray this way indicates something, and it's something wonderful, all right? It indicates that God Himself, that He will keep us from at least some temptations. Do you hear that in this passage? The fact that God calls us to pray this way indicates He will keep us from at least some temptations. Again, let's look at the passage that we just saw, verse 40. Jesus says to His disciples, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Verse 46, He says it again, "Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Why would Jesus even bother telling them to pray about not entering into temptation if God's always going to say, "Nope, you got to go through it. No matter what the temptation is, you got to go through it. I'm not going to help you there." Right? So if God is saying, if God incarnate is saying, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation," we can be assured that at least some of the temptations that we face, we wouldn't have to face them if we would pray that we would not enter into temptation. What do you think about that? There are actually temptations that God will keep you from going through if you simply pray. "Lord, keep me from temptation." Do you believe that? I mean, this is from the lips of Jesus. And He's the one that's telling us this. And in fact, in the passage in Matthew, the parallel passage in Matthew, Jesus says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then He adds, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." The point there, temptation's going to come. And when that temptation comes, you might be willing on the inside to resist, but when it comes, your flesh is weak. And often, more often than you want, you're probably going to give in. So what should you do? Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray that you don't even have to go through it at all. And the fact that God promises that He will at least keep us from some temptations, that's amazing. It's a wonderful gift from our Heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts to His children. And the fact that we often do not pray about our temptations just shows our unbelief. It shows that we really don't believe that God will keep us from temptation. Most of us, I would bet, we pray after the temptation. In fact, after we've given in to the temptation and we've sinned, and then we go, "Ooh, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Let me pray for forgiveness." And the beautiful thing about the gospel is that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did at the cross. Right? That's our hope in Christ. But it gets even better that we never even had to sin that sin in the first place, because at least for some temptations, if we prayed ahead of time and said, "God, keep me from temptation," there are some temptations God will keep us from. And we would never even have to ask for forgiveness of that particular temptation, because we'd never have to go through it in the first place. I hope that I have made that point clear. Because it's an important point. Which is better, to not give in to the temptation in the first place, or to go through the pain and agony of going through the temptation, and then on the other side you feel guilt, you feel shame, and maybe the temptation itself led to problems for yourself or problems for others, and there's hurt and pain and difficulty, and all of that could have been avoided if we had just said, "Lord, keep me from temptation." You know, John Owen, another Presbyterian pastor from way back, said, "Let no man pretend to fear sin that does not fear temptation also." These two are too closely united to be separated. He does not truly hate the fruit who delights in the root. In other words, if you say, "I don't want to sin, I don't want to commit this particular sin," and yet you kind of get up real close to the edge of the temptation and you kind of flirt with it, you don't really hate that sin. You're not really trying to avoid that sin. That's just the way it is. There's something inside you that's saying, "Let's get as close as we can because I really like it." Like a drug addict who he may say, "Yeah, I want to get off drugs," but when that feeling and desire starts to bubble up inside and he needs his next fix, and he starts playing around with ideas of, "Maybe I could just take a little bit and it won't hurt me this time. It won't bother me this time," right? That's how we are with sin. And so Jesus says, pray that you won't even enter into the temptation in the first place. And God, sometimes at least, will answer that prayer in the positive and he will keep you from temptation. But let's be honest, there are times when we can pray, "Keep me away from temptation," and God in his wisdom doesn't keep us from it. Right? You with me? I don't understand it. Because it seems like if you pray, "Keep me from temptation," and God doesn't want us to go through temptation, then the logical conclusion would be all we have to do is every day pray, "Keep me away from temptation today," and we'd never sin because we would never be tempted. But that's not how life goes, right? And so God, in his sovereign wisdom and his holy providential care for us, he knows that sometimes we need to face a temptation to bring out what's already in us that we don't know about, to cause us to show that we really are his, to purify us as a refiner purifies gold. So there are times when God does not keep us from temptation. But even when, and this is part of what we need to hear today, folks, even when God does not prohibit or restrain certain temptations from coming our way, he is faithful to provide a way of escape. Even when God does not prohibit or restrain certain temptations from coming our way, he is faithful to, I can add this word, always provide a way of escape. Where do I get that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." Let me just give an aside. Lie number one of the evil one is to tell you that when you sin, you're the only one. You're the only one who's ever had to face this temptation. You're the only one who's ever given in to sin this way. It's just not true. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to human beings in general." Okay? So don't listen to the lie. The truth is, if you have given in to a sin, there is probably somebody in this same congregation who also has. And we can learn from each other. That's part of the reason why we confess our sins to each other, not just to God, but to each other, so that we can find out, "Oh, wow, you struggle with that too? I had no idea. I thought I was the only one." And then we can encourage one another. So no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And listen to this, He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, I stop there, and let me just tell you where my unbelief is. When I read this, I go, really? God doesn't allow me to be tempted beyond my ability? Are you kidding me? There's some temptations that have come my way that I thought, there's no way I can resist this. This is too much for me to handle. In fact, those words actually came out of my mouth this week. I don't think I can handle this. And then I stopped and I remembered partly this passage. God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now let's read on. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There is also always an escape hatch in every temptation we face. The question is, will we take it? Will we look for it? And will we take it? You know, maybe one of the ways of escape is to speak truth to the lie that is tempting you. That has become very important to me. You guys, many of you know how my struggle with depression and anxiety, and it is an ongoing struggle. And much of that comes from me believing lies. Much of it comes from that. One of the biggest lies that I give into constantly is that your opinion of me matters more than God's opinion of me. Now, your opinion matters. Don't hear me say your opinion doesn't matter of me. I want you to like me, okay? But in the final analysis, if God says, Stuart, I want you to preach and teach on this subject, and it's going to make some people upset, am I going to listen to God? Or am I going to go, but they won't like it? You see what I'm saying? That's the temptation that I have fairly regularly. I want people to like me, but sometimes that means that I have to put that aside and say, no, here's the truth. What God says of me is more important than what human beings say of me. And if God says, you're my beloved child, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, nothing in all creation can separate me and you, I will be with you even when you go through the fire, even when you go through the waters, even when you seem like it is overwhelming, I'm there with you. I will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm there with you, Stuart. And no matter what happens, even that worst case scenario that you start thinking about, I will use that for your good to make you like Jesus. And when I start speaking the truth to the lie, I'm not saying the anxiety goes away. I'm not saying the depression goes away, but it helps me to handle it better than I would otherwise. So maybe one way of escape is to speak the truth to the lie. Maybe another way of escape is to flee from whatever is tempting you. Every time I think about this idea, I think about Joseph. In the story in Genesis, where a Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. And he runs from her. And he gets away from her so quickly that actually his cloak gets taken off as he's running away. And that's a picture in my mind of sometimes that is the way of escape. You see the temptation and you go, I'm not getting anywhere near that. I'm heading the other way. Sometimes that's the way of escape. There are plenty of ways of escape, but I want you to hear this, and this is one maybe you haven't thought about. Ultimately, Jesus is the way of escape. We fix our eyes on Jesus, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet he never gave in to the temptation of full-blown sin. Now, he didn't do it. He said no every time. So we fix our eyes on Jesus and we say, Jesus, help me in this temptation. We fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured the painful and shameful death of the cross for our good, to provide salvation for our sins, right? And when we do so, we can know the power of the resurrection, because the same Jesus that we fix our eyes on, who endured the cross and scorned its shame, is the same Jesus who rose triumphantly from the grave and who gives abundant, eternal, resurrection life to all who look to him in faith. And that resurrection, abundant life is what gives you the power to say no to your temptations. Let's go back to this passage and think one more time about what Luke is showing us about the Jesus who says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And let's think about it from this angle. Here is Jesus facing what is probably the biggest temptation of his life. Right? Am I going to suffer on the cross like the Father is asking me to? Am I really going to allow myself to be arrested and all these trumped up charges being brought up against me that are false? And am I really going to allow them to strip me basically naked and flog me and put a crown of thorns on my head and mock me and spit at me and hit me and then nail me to a cross, and I'm hanging there trying to breathe and knowing that my Father is going to turn his face away from me for a brief period of time while I take on the curse of sin? Am I really going to do that? And so, with that in mind, he looks at his disciples and he says, pray that you will not enter into temptation. He knows what it's like. You don't want to have to go through this if you don't have to. And then he gets on his knees and he withdrew about a stone's throw and he knelt down, he prayed, and he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. You see what he's saying? Keep me away from this temptation. Don't let me enter into it. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then his Father sent him an angel from heaven to strengthen him. And he prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat becomes like great drops of blood on the ground. And then he goes and he tells his disciples one more time, pray that you will not enter into temptation. And the very next thing that happens is he's betrayed, taken under custody, and he heads for the cross. And he doesn't back down. Jesus, ultimately, is the way of escape, because we look to Jesus and we say, you know what, Jesus, just like you told us, we're going to pray that we don't even enter into temptation. And if we do enter into temptation, we're going to do what you did. Not my will, but yours be done. Help me to resist. Give me strength. Strengthen me. If you got to send an angel to strengthen me, hey, that's great. But do whatever it takes to strengthen me, empower me, that I will say no to this temptation. All right, so we've been talking about action points, things that you can actually do. This one's pretty simple. Your action point for this week, from this sermon, actively pray every day about temptation. And again, that's not to pray that you'll be tempted more. That's to pray that you will not enter into temptation. Actively pray. And let me just tell you, don't just pray that generally. Okay? We can pray that generally. It's kind of like confessing sin, you know, Lord, please forgive me, I'm a sinner, da, 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 and you go on. There's something really powerful about owning up to specific sin. Not just forgive me of my sins, but forgive me for how I spoke to my family today. Forgive me for the harsh words. Forgive me for the attitude of judgment that I had against so-and-so. You know, being very specific about our sins, there's something powerful about that that allows you to experience the fullness of God's grace in Christ. And the same is true when we get specific about our temptations. Lord, not just keep me from temptation, but keep me away from this particular thing. Anxiety? Maybe. That might be yours. Overeating, that might be one of them. Pornography might be one of the issues that someone here is dealing with. There could be all kinds of things, but whatever it is that you face, the specific area that you face, pray actively every day. Say, Lord Jesus, keep me from this specific sin. And if I have to face the temptation, show me the way of escape that I will get out of there. All right, so that's your assignment for this week. So, folks, let's pray that God will keep us from temptation. And when we have to face temptation, let's pray that we will take the way of escape in Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, keep us from temptation. Keep us from the specific temptations that face us. And give us, Holy Spirit, the power to be able to pray this every day. And not just for this week, but for the rest of our lives, that we would know your resurrection power at work in us by your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.